Welcome back to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast, where we cover the best show on streaming, Warrior. Today, we're talking about episode 8, written by our man, Hoon Lee. Welcome back, everybody. Episode 8, we are here. And the first thing that we're going to mention, real quick, you just told me a second ago, go for it.
No cold open.
No cold open, which means
it's a banger. It's gonna be an awesome show. It's like, we don't want anybody to be distracted with this credit roll stuff.
When you start off a show with a credit sequence, you know that there's a lot of stuff that's gonna happen.
It's about to go down.
They're like, listen, we have no time to interrupt ourselves with our own credit sequence. Let's just get it out of the way.
That's exactly it, man. It has to be.
Because even they did that with other shows too, Game of Thrones and stuff like that. Like if the credits opened up and there was no cold open,
it just goes dun 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 dun. Oh shit!
Wait a second. Who's gonna die?
Somebody's gonna die again.
Not somebody. Lots of people.
Lots of people are gonna die.
But this was an amazing episode.
It was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm so happy that Hoon Lee, because when we talked to him like a year and a half ago or so, he was like, I really want to be able to write an episode of Warrior. I'm hoping that I'll be able to do so in this next season. And sure enough, he did. And it's one of the best of the season.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Hoon Lee. Well done, sir. Can't wait to talk about it with you guys.
And on the official podcast, he likes to point out that he is a writer on the show.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Good. He's kind of like you, isn't he?
Is he a blue check mark? If he is, he'll tell you.
You mean good looking and brilliant? Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yep. And bald. I skipped this part, but I'm joined as always. Matt Vader's here. What's up, man?
Hi, man. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you're back.
I miss you guys. If I didn't see you at least once or twice a week.
I agree.
I came in last night for a little while, but I haven't like sat in my chair for like 2 weeks.
Been a minute.
Because you were sick. I've been sick.
Yeah, my kids came over, my grandkids, and I got sick the day before they showed up. Well, it was a long week. I did not enjoy myself.
I hope you didn't spread your Captain Trips to them to take home.
I give it to the wife. You know, whatever.
Oh, good.
They're kids. They're fine. They have strong immune systems. They're good.
Only the strong shall survive. That's how you weed out the weak kids.
They have good immune systems and they're made out of rubber. It's fine.
Jude's also here.
Hello.
What's up? Can't wait for your synopsis.
Me too.
Bridezilla. I laughed so hard when I edited that podcast. Like, freaking, Han and his boyfriend eat each other's nuts. I was like, oh my God.
By the way, I'm getting married.
But the funniest thing about the nuts comment was that it was 100% accurate.
100% accurate.
Literal.
You could not even, it wasn't even a joke.
You want some of my nuts?
Yeah.
Roast yes, I do.
Salted? Put them in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. On that note. My salty nuts.
put them in your mouth and suck them.
All right. We've got some comments on our YouTube channel. Apparently, we're not taking this show seriously enough.
What?
Fuck
off.
Really?
There are other shows you can listen to. That's not what we're here for.
Nope.
We're here for laughs and a good time.
Yeah.
And Jude. Death and murder.
And murder. Take it away.
And all the dick.
Episode 8.
Episode 8. Season 3, episode 8, You Know When You're Losing a Fight. It's My Ling's special day, and everyone's there. Lee clocks Yan Mi at the wedding with Assam and warns Chow that if he's involved in the counterfeiting, he will go down for it with everyone else. A toy fends off another attack from the other brothel owner, and we won't be seeing that guy ever again. Father June and Young June talk outside after the wedding when Father June is lucid, but later Young June wakes up to an attack by his father who doesn't recognize his son. Mai Ling has the elders assassinated while she and Li Yong consummate their marriage. In the morning, Li Yong has to finish killing his friend, the lone survivor of her orchestrated attack, and Li Yong finally realizes that everyone has been right about Mai Ling all along. Buckley's the official mayor, and Leary can't wait to start calling in favors. Big Bill finally starts an accounting at the behest of Lucy's sister. After work, Leary talks him into some light vigilanteing, and he ends up beating the shit out of Kevin Spacey. When he arrives home, he and Lucy share a whiskey and wait for the fallout from the fight, and Lai is now a new member of Strickland's staff. Discuss.
A lot happens this episode.
Yeah. Man.
What do you guys want to start with? You want to start with...
I want to start with no Penny or Sophie in this episode.
It's not happening. Let it go.
They'll be back in season 4 as supervillains. It's confirmed.
I also want to point out that JT, as he's known to his friends...
Jonathan Tropper.
Jonathan Tropper. you know, when we talked to him about C, you know, like he's like, oh, I don't watch Game of Thrones. Like, you know, like it's so far off my radar. I don't even know about it. But he continues the trend of like having fucked up shit happen whenever there's a wedding on the show.
It's true.
Like this is the Godfather episode of Warrior.
Yeah. He's like, I don't watch that show, but that motherfucker read all those books.
Well, it's the joke where it's like, whenever you're watching an episode of Game of Thrones, if there's a wedding, shit goes down.
Yeah.
And it's the same in this episode. But it really reminded me, because like one of the highlights of this episode is where Mai Ling is basically fucking her husband.
Leon.
It kind of sucks now.
And basically, it's intercut with, you know, her eliminating everyone that's kind of opposed to her. Mm-hmm. Now, I was like, this is the baptism scene from The Godfather.
Yeah.
And
married sex is not as fun as.
Oh, but yeah, but she knows sex. All that murder's going on, and that really gets her going.
Oh, yeah. She didn't even have to choke him this time.
She's like, oh, so many people are getting choked right now.
So much death is happening.
But that, like, just in all seriousness, though, that, like, really does paint, like, a super dark picture of Mai Ling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know she hasn't been my favorite character throughout the series. She's just kind of like, oh, it's Mai Ling. She's just doing her thing. You know, she's playing 4D chess and she's trying to, you know, make something more of herself than just
she's
the Tong
a smarter
leader.
Cersei.
Yeah, she's doing all kinds of weird shit. And I was used to it, but it's more fun for me to, like, watch the dudes fight in the streets and stuff like that because I'm a freaking guy. I'm an idiot. But then when this happened, it wasn't that I wasn't surprised. I was like, oh, of course she would do that.
Yeah.
Because she's a freaking psycho. And, like, it's just, I don't know, it was such a good piece of the puzzle. It fit in so well.
Do you think she decided to do that before they came to the wedding to talk to only Lee Young?
100%.
Or do you think that she decided to do that because they did that?
My gut says that she was planning that all along.
She was going to take him out anyway?
She was waiting for the opportune moment, and I guess her marriage was just a good time to do it. But it's possible that she was like, oh, they're plotting against me.
I want to point out that I don't think that it was psychopathic what she did. I think that it was like a very smart political maneuver. Yeah, it was very strategic because like all these elders who were in charge of the Tongs that her Tong absorbed and still had a lot of sway were actively campaigning to replace her.
Sure.
And she knew this. Yeah. I think she knew it as soon as she got out of jail. You know, so like.
And the Hop Wei doesn't have any elders that they have to like check in with unless there's people in China.
Yeah, so like the Hop Wei is kind of like its own thing, but like the Long Z had become like a conglomeration of like a bunch of different Tongs that they had absorbed.
So she just wants to be like
top dog.
Yeah. So by eliminating all these guys who were actively plotting against her, by the way, because like at the wedding they offered to basically throw their support behind Li Yang and make him the head of the Tong, and she's not going to kill Li Yang, obviously, but Chow makes an interesting kind of like point here in this episode where he's basically like, she can't do this without you, right? Like, you know, she might love you for real, but she can't make these maneuvers without your support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like that kind of puts Li Yang in a weird position where he's like, he loves Mai Ling, but at the same time, like he doesn't agree with like her tactics. But like as a criminal mastermind, she needs to make these maneuvers in order to solidify her power.
Mm-hmm. She's doing the same thing with Li Yang that she did with Long Z.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Long Z loved her, but she never showed her true self to him. But she does with Li Yang. Li Yang loves her and also sees her, so he's going to have a lot of hard choices to make coming up.
Does she show him her true self?
Later.
I don't think she does.
I think she expects him to follow in tow.
He had no clue that she was going to have all those people murdered.
You know,
before that, you know, the elders were all there. It's like, you're married to Mai Li now. You are in charge.
Yeah.
You are the man. You are the husband of this lady who was temporarily in charge of the thing after our ex-leader died because she was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're in charge. That's what they were trying to tell him. It's like, here's some money.
And
go get your bitch in line.
And
let's go.
Yeah, but he's all like, this dude keeps turning a blind eye to the warning signs, right? Because this whole time, she's dangerous.
Because he's a fucking cuck.
Yeah, he's simping for this chick, and he's not seeing the warning signs until it's too late. Until it's too late. And then he has to kill his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
That was dark. And she's sitting there waiting for, like, we should probably set the scene, I guess, a little bit. But the murders all happen during the night when they're consummating their marriage. Great scenes, by the way.
Yeah, awesome.
And then the next morning, they're having, like, breakfast together.
And she's doing
chilling.
The traditional, she's handing like, him his tea. I will serve you.
Yeah. She's fucking with his head.
Yeah, well, they're having traditional tea service. And
well, she was sitting on his lap.
Yeah.
She was, like,
well, she was
serving
eventually.
Him.
Yeah, and then his best friend, Mark.
The chairman.
Mark DeCascos.
DeCascos, thank you.
The Iron Chef chairman.
Iron Chef chairman. Comes in with, like, a rope burn on his neck from somebody trying to choke him out.
He's like, she's assassinated every member of the tribe.
Which, honestly, they should have come in with a better weapon for him.
Well, I had a big problem with this scene because it felt like a little bit too convenient for me. Because, first of all, the Iron Chef has all of his minions still within the Long Z, so he could have gone and, like, she tried to kill me, we have to fight back. But he also could have picked his moment to barge in and try to assassinate her because, like, you know, she was with his friend. He could have waited until she was, like, alone or, like, you know, bided his time and consolidated some power, got some more soldiers, something.
Or he should have spoken to Li Yong out of Mai Ling's presence and been like, look what she did.
Or he
put Li Yong in the position where he had to choose in that moment.
Right. It's like, or, you know, follow with me here. He was really upset and angry.
Thank you.
And he just had a rope burn, and he went and confronted them.
He went nuts.
He went and confronted them right there in the spot. And he thought that his best friend
would have his back.
Would understand finally after all this kind of stuff happened. And
he's also been warning Li Yong this whole time.
And they were all right.
So he thought by going there and saying, look what she did. I told you she was going to do something like this.
She has to go now.
She has to get out of here. And then... yeah, he simps for her even harder.
Every single time she makes a move without Li Yong, and then he finds out the next day, and he's like, you made a move without me. You said you're going to not do that. She's like, no, I won't do that anymore.
Ugh,
Every single time.
So manipulative.
Yeah, I won't do that again.
Yeah.
And except I just did it again yesterday.
And I have to say, the final fight between Li Yong and Mark DeCascos was fantastic.
Oh,
but
it was heartbreaking.
Unfortunately, his Iron Chef style was no match for his Bruce Lee style. So.
It was a heartbreaking fight, though.
I really thought it was funny. I thought it was good, but there was that one scene in the middle of the fight where like they're doing their shit, and they flip and they flop around, and all of a sudden, Li Yong finds himself on the opposite side of his wife. And the chairman's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then it's like the panic in Li Yong's face. Yeah. You can see it was really well done.
There was a moment.
It's like, oh, I got to stay between her and him or else there's going to be problems. And he quickly adjusted. But I just thought that scene within the fight was really interesting.
And I love
really
that part where like the chairman just throws the knife at Mai Ling and it just barely misses her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no. It's like that scene from Wayne's World where like the thing goes right by Cassandra's head.
That was a...
And then Mike Myers flexes and his shirt falls off.
Yeah. That scene with the knife was when I was on the edge of my seat because I thought for a second, because I mean, this show can still throw some curveballs at us. And I was like, oh my God, did he just get... I thought for a split second, I was like, oh, he got her.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I thought this was such a well done fight.
Yeah.
Because you could... The whole time I was watching, like I've watched it 3 or 4 times now, but through the whole fight you can see facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the actor what's his place, Leon? He did such a great job at expressing the frustration and anger.
Yes. When his friend was dead.
Even before that, during the fight.
Yeah.
Just during the fight of the conflict that he was going through. You know, and the very beginning was awesome too because he just sat there and he knew what was going to happen, and then you know the chairman gave him a second to compose himself and he does this thing and he does this stance and he goes, okay, begin.
Begin.
Let's do it, and you know it was just. Super cool.
And what was even better is that they have that moment right before they get married where the chairman goes up and does like this kind of fake fight, but he gets the better of Li Yong in that moment. And Li Yong is just kind of like, oh, it's my buddy. It's cool. But then like when he shows up to fight, you're like, oh, is the chairman actually better than Li Yong? Because he got some licks. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the fight was super intense. This is a great scene. And the heartbreak when he's holding his friend Mm-hmm. He's in the water, and Mai Ling is still trying to manipulate him.
Well, even before that, so like, there's a moment where like he's in that pond, that koi pond, and he's got Mark DeCasco's head on his shoulder, and he's about to break his neck, and he knows that he's going to do it, and he just takes that little beat, and he's just like, "Fuck, I don't want to do this."
And he's heartbroken in that moment.
And then Mai Ling, what does she say to him when she's
like, "I had to do this."
Yeah,
they made me do this. Basically,
and he's just like,
"Fuck you, bitch."
So what? And he's just like, "I need a minute here,
yeah,
bitch."
Right?
Yeah.
She is. Oh gosh, she's so manipulative. Mm-hmm. Can we talk predictions? I know some of us might have seen the next episode.
I know what happens next.
Don't say nothing.
No, I don't want to do that because
you don't want to.
No.
I feel like he's got to take her out. How is he not? If he doesn't, then...
Well, he loves her, though.
Yeah,
so, like,
but...
Like, if anything, he might just remove himself from the equation.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to whack my wife. I could do it.
She killed all your friends, bro. They're all dead.
Those weren't his friends, though.
Well, most of the older ones.
What if your wife made you kill your best friend?
I'd probably just leave and never return.
I'd
go on to the earth like
get a new best friend and a new wife at the same
I'd go be Kane.
Yeah.
So I do want to point out in this episode, which, you know, Hoon Lee, excellent writer, we wrapped up a lot of B and C level storylines in this episode. So the big thing that stood out to me was Atoy's little feud with that rival pimp, where he shows up at the wedding and he's gonna, like, you know, mess her up. And then, like, she has, like, a weapon hidden in her fan.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, like, she takes out the pimp and all of his guys. And just as, like, she, like, kills all of them, like, Assam comes running into the rescue. And he's like,
oh. He realizes that Atoy isn't at the wedding anymore. Yeah. And he comes running out. And she's like, nah, it's okay. Go back to the wedding.
No, she's like, this is why I hate weddings.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny because, like, for the previous three episodes, like, they set up this conflict that she was going to have with this rival pimp.
Mm-hmm.
And in this episode, it's just like, okay, that's done.
Yeah. It's over. Very succinct.
That's
Atoy takes him out.
Yeah.
I love her weapons.
So many assassination attempts at weddings.
Yeah. And I also want to point
out. Brace yourself in November.
I also want to. Oh, my God. Freaking Jude.
You're going to have to be on full Batman mode.
Yeah, I'm there for it. I'm there for it.
Yeah, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Jude and I are getting married in November, so we will have
a
wedding.
Alex is our wedding Batman. He's there to control if people get out of control.
He's the Lee Young.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear him getting married?
I didn't even wear my ring today. I took it off yesterday. I forgot to put it back on.
You can come if you want.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
Can you be my Batman?
You want to come to the wedding? Yes. Yeah. You're invited.
Yeah, JT, your invitation is in the mail.
I just want to point out real quick the follow-through with the story element that Atoy is still recovering. Every time she's in a fight, she has that giant scar on her shoulder.
Yeah,
and she favors that
she
shoulder.
She got hacked the fuck up.
Yeah, and I love the fact that she's like, however many months this is past the point where she's supposed to be healed up and whatever, but every time she's in a fight, she immediately favors that shoulder. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, freaking shoulder hurts.
Yeah,
they don't have
ice packs.
I know. I just love the fact
something
that they're keeping that as a part of the story for her character moving forward. Like, they could have easily been like, okay, she's healed now, she's still a badass. Like, she's still a badass, but she's injured.
They don't have antibiotics and frozen peas.
My leg just sewed her up real quick with an earring or something. It was
so
crazy.
I do want to point out that yet again, because in the previous episode, Awesome didn't have any fight scenes. He didn't have any fight scenes in this episode either, but things are coming to a head with Printer Girl. I'm sorry, I forget like her character's
name.
Yanmi. Where basically it's very clear to Awesome that Young June is planning to have her killed as soon as he doesn't need her anymore because she's training up, you know, other members of the Hopway to do like the printing stuff. And but we also see that Awesome is coming to care for her a lot more. And by the end of the episode, like, you know, he's like, you need to leave. You need to take that money that you printed and you need to get
save
out of
yourself.
Town.
Yeah.
I mean, Young June literally told him, it's like, don't get attached, man.
Yeah.
Go get some other sticky F1. Mm-hmm. But really, don't get attached.
Did you catch?
Just don't get attached to her.
Did you catch the annoyance that Young June had with Assam when they were at the wedding?
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like,
I think it's rightfully
he's got that hooker on his lap and he's having a drink and he's trying to enjoy himself. And Assam comes over to try to talk business and he's like, Jesus, bro. Like, I don't even want to talk to you right now. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He doesn't
Can
even want to be at that
wedding. Can I just enjoy the
wedding?
Yeah. Can I just enjoy the little bit of time that I have right now? And Assam's like, hey, man, what are we going to do about this, this, and this? And he's like, bro, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, they're not best friends anymore. they're not drifting right far, far apart.
Not right now, yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like Assam still has some loyalty to Young Jun, but Young Jun is quickly kind of, like, putting his friendship with Assam aside. But what was another interesting aspect of this wedding was when Big D Lee shows up with his partner.
The Dick Squad.
And we get to see the new dynamic between Chow and Lee now, mm-hmm. which was very interesting.
It's the same dynamic. I'm still upset about this. Literally square one.
I wasn't very happy about it.
I'm like, they're exactly in the same spot that they were 3 episodes ago.
Before they had this
great, like, adventure to Georgia and became buddies. Mm-hmm. Now we're back to, hey man, I'm a cop. And
the last did.
I'm like,
two scenes over 2 episodes.
But at least Lee is giving him, like, the, hey, I'm warning you, get the fuck out of this, because if you're still in it, when I come to collect, I'm collecting you too. He's at least warning him.
Yeah, that there is some mutual respect there now, because I think Chow even said, like, I know your story now, Mr. Lee. Mm-hmm. But the really interesting aspect of this is, like, when they first come into the wedding, Big D Lee instantly clocks. It's like, wait, the Hopway and the Long Z? There's something going on here.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and he's like, there's a lot more places that the Long Z could hide counterfeit money than the Hopway could.
Yeah.
And what's his partner's name? I want to call him
Mosley.
And Mosley's just like completely, like, out of the loop on all this stuff. And he's like, well, whatever you say, man.
Well, he's following his big dick. It's like, you've got this, kid. I believe in you. I'm still slightly annoyed with the Chow and Big Dick Lee. I feel like that was had real potential, and I would have loved to have seen more of it. And now I feel like they're just
you want a new series, the side adventure.
I mean, I would watch it. I'm just saying, I would watch it. But I just, the place that they're in right now, I feel, is too similar to the place that they were in at the beginning of the season.
Maybe their relationship will.
Maybe it might be
beneficial to them both at the end of the series or something.
Yeah, at the end, in the next 2 episodes, if something happens between the two of them and that pays off, I'll shut up. I'll put a sock in it. But for now, I'm just like, what was the point? But I could be wrong.
Well, speaking of Big D Lee, Big Bill has like a big appearance in this episode.
He
was pretty much absent from the last episode, I believe.
Well, he was at the mine or at the concrete place.
Concrete bags.
Yeah, and his brother-in-law was being a dick to him.
Holding that power over his head.
Yeah, this was fun. I loved Big Bill in this episode. Like, he gets to, Leary calls on him, right? And he's like, mm-hmm. hey, man, you still got sway in the police department,
well,
right?
He's having a drink after work in Leary's bar. And it's just Leary and him at the bar.
Yeah, and they're like, he's freaking, what are they called? Those two morons that got arrested for stealing groceries.
Two Irish bloaters.
They had a name, but I can't remember what the name was.
O'Callaghan or something.
Well, before we get to that scene, so basically he's at the concrete factory. Mm-hmm. He gets called into the boss's office, who's his brother-in-law.
He's covered in dirt.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, congratulations. Next week tomorrow you're going to start here in accounting. And he's like, I thought I had to work my way up for that. And he's like, well, my wife says otherwise.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's just very patronizing. And then, like, he refers him to the actual accountant, who's, like, basically just talking down to him. It's like, how to do math, right?
You know how to do basic math?
18-year-old kid.
Yeah. He's like, do you know what the discrepancy means, right? He's like, I fucking know what it means.
and so Bill is already in a bad, kind of downtrodden mood by the time he gets to Leary's bar. And he's just sitting there minding his own business, taking a drink. And as he hears this stuff going around, he's like, I think Leary had even talked to him, like, previously about, these people all look up to you. Mm-hmm. If you can't,
rally the troops
of, like, a 90% Irish police force, what good are you?
Oh, I think Strickland said that to Leary.
Yeah.
Strickland was like, you're not very good at your job if you can't get the freaking guys out of prison, which is mostly your people runs the whole prison.
Yeah, because Leary immediately wants to start calling in favors with Buckley. Yeah. And Strickland's like, whoa.
Dude.
We ask for big favors, not these two dumbasses who robbed a grocery store.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
You do that on your own.
Leary's really hard at reading the room, too, because Buckley's literally accepting, his position as mayor, giving his acceptance speech.
He's like, I'm going to go interrupt his speech to be like, can you get these two blokes out of the jail, please?
Which brings me to something that I want to share with you guys.
Oh, yeah, we have something special.
I can't wait.
He's been holding this over our heads.
For like 4 days now.
Yeah.
So we got a message from somebody. Go ahead, Cash.
Yeah, so the actor who plays Dylan Leary himself.
Leary.
Dean Jagger. Sometimes I pronounce it Jaeger because I, you know, for whatever reason, I'm terrible with names. But he said, "Hey, Lado." He called me Lado. He was like, it's pronounced like my Uncle Mick's last name, Jagger. And I was like, okay, thank you for correcting me.
That's funny.
But the actor Dean Jagger reached out to us through our contact form on our website.
That's amazing.
Yes. And I want to read you his email.
I'm so excited.
In real time. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So it's a very short and succinct email, much like I believe Leary is. But he said, "Hey, lads and lass, just want to say thank you for your podcast. You guys are great, and although I don't have social media, I want you to know Leary is always watching." Salente. And then, I replied to him, and basically he got back to me and schooled me on how to pronounce his name and said that he would love to come on the show at some point.
Oh, that's freaking so cool.
Wait.
My vagina's going to fall off.
My nipples are hard.
I think they are.
She's not going to know what to do with herself if that happens. My goodness. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for the message. Really appreciate it.
I find it fascinating that, like, you know, we talk about how, like, he's not on social media, so we don't know how to, like, follow him or support him or whatever. And he's just like, "I'm always watching."
He's like, I found you.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Don't get on that stuff. Once you get on it, you can't get off.
I know. I asked Tropper. I was like, "Hey, man, how do I reach out?" Because there was a couple people I wanted to, like, tag in some videos and stuff like that. And one of them was Big Dick Lee. And he has an Instagram, but he never uses it. He has, like, 100 followers. And he's just, like, a blank. He has the egg profile picture. It's not even him. And then he was like, Dean's never going to have Instagram, so you're not going to reach out to him. And I'm like, oh, okay. But thank you for contacting us. That was pretty cool.
Well, he started, like, a production company with his brother, and he says that he's doing a lot of traveling right now, and they're going to be, like, doing, like, their own projects and stuff like that. Ever since, like, he showed up in season 3, we've been wanting to talk to him. Mm-hmm. So good on you, Mr. Jagger. Thank you for reaching out.
That's cool. Thank you so much. We love hearing from the cast and crew. You guys are awesome.
And I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but he's like a trained boxer and MMA fighter. He's like certified in jiu-jitsu.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And his first role ever was as Small John Umber in Game of Thrones.
Oh, I was looking at his IMDb page that you had pulled up on the computer. Mm-hmm. He's in a movie. It's a vampire movie. And I've seen it. But I didn't recognize him because it was just like years ago. Mm-hmm. I watched that movie and I was like, "Oh, this is a weird kind of goofy, cool vampire movie."
You don't know what it is?
I forget. It's a name. It's not a title. It's like a. Do you remember what it was? I'd have to go look again. But
hold on, I'm gonna look it up.
Anyway, yeah, it was a super cool movie that I thought would be kind of fun to watch, but I forgot the name of it until just now, and I didn't realize it was him playing in that movie, which is crazy coincidence. But we'll figure out the name in a second.
Yeah, what's great about Leary's subplot in this episode is basically. You know, he's had his run-in with Kevin Spacey. He knows that it's...
Yes, Corbin Nash.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No.
I've seen it. It's weird, but it's right up our alley.
Okay.
And I feel like we should check it out.
It's a show or a movie?
It's a movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so basically, Leary is trying to get these two Irish kids out of jail. Mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey's not having any of it. So he goes to Bill. Bill's
Kevin
like...
Kevin Spacey sucks.
Yeah, he goes to Big Bill, and Big Bill's like, you know... I don't have any sway in there anymore. Like, I'm not a police officer. And Leary kind of gives him a hard time about it. And this is all after he gets schooled by Strickland about, like, when's the time to use political capital and when it isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so basically, by the end of this episode, the father is at Leary's bar, and he's given Leary a hard time about not delivering on his promises. And Bill is sitting there listening to this whole thing, and he's just like, fuck it. Let's go get these boys out. And so him and Leary go to the police station, and they gather the troops, and they're like, "We're getting these boys out." And they're like, I can't justify that. You know, Bill, like, we can't do that. He's like, no, I'm not asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Mm-hmm. Give me the fucking key. Yeah.
And so when they go down to the jail cell to release these boys, who shows up but Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
And, Kevin,
and now it's a cage match.
Yeah.
A literal cage match.
Yeah.
But Kevin Spacey basically says, like, okay, if you can kick my ass, you can have these boys go free. But if I kick your ass,
you and
Leary
are both in jail.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the bet that they make. And I was genuinely worried.
I know.
For the first half of this fight, I was
Kevin Spacey can throw.
He was throwing down, and I was like, "Oh shit, Bill, come on, man!" And he's all, you know, he's tired and sore.
And everyone watching it is saying, like, "Come on, Bill!
God damn it, Bill!" And
for the love of all the designers.
Freaking Leary's like, he's hung over the gate, just like, God damn it, I made the wrong bet.
Yeah.
And of course, the evil Kevin Spacey has to go on a freaking evil monologue. And he's like, I think you could take me. He just starts spouting off, and Bill's like, would you please stop? Please stop. And he's like, stop what? Stop fucking talking. Just pounds the shit out of him.
That was a great moment.
That was a great moment.
But then Bill defeats Kevin Spacey and takes the boys out with him, and everyone's celebratory. Mm-hmm. But then, like, he gets home and he is just
fucked up.
One of my favorite things in the show.
God bless his wife.
Listen, is it Lucy, right? Lucy continually has a place in my heart.
I know.
Every time she's on screen, I'm like, God damn it.
She's the best wife anyone ever had.
She's like, what did you do this time? He's like, well, I fought the police chief and I knocked his ass out in the jail cell. She's like, oh, give me that.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, all right.
She takes the whiskey bottle.
She takes the whole bottle from him and starts drinking it.
And it's kind of funny because Bill, he basically says, it's like, there are going to be repercussions for this. Yeah. Even though he won the bet and the bet's going to be honored, the police chief.
By the way, I got the accounting job.
The police chief is going to come after him. And so he basically is just like, yeah, I just fucked myself again.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, because I mean, they'll let the kids out of jail, but then that chief is going to come hauling ass after Bill and anything that he has to do with.
Yeah. You know what happens next?
Don't tell me.
Keep doing this so I don't give it away with my eyes.
But there's this big theme running throughout this episode, based off of the episode title, where it's like, you know when you're losing a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically all of our main characters are in some state of losing something in the course of this episode. And the big one is with the guy who says the titular line, which is Father June and Young June. Where after the wedding, Father June's outside. He's enjoying, like, the fresh air. He's lucid once more. Mm-hmm. And Young June sits down next to him and kind of, like, shares a moment with him. But Father June says, like, I know that I'm losing this fight. Yeah. Like, I'm losing, like, my mental facility. I'm no longer myself. And later on in the episode, he almost kills Young June by sneaking up on him in bed and putting a knife to his throat. And, you know, he's having this delusion that, like, he's somewhere else and he's younger.
He keeps having these, like,
flashbacks of
other fights he's been in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Young June, luckily, he's able to kind of like talk his dad down, but he still blames Awesome for what happened to his dad. And so this kind of like is starting to escalate into Young June specifically stating that Awesome is now like on his enemies list as opposed to like, you know, being his right hand man.
Man, that's a turn of the tides for sure. That's crazy.
I know what happens.
Stop it, Jude.
Watch the episode.
I will.
Watch the rest of the goddamn season so I can finally talk about it.
You mean watch the penultimate episode?
Oh, I'm almost out. This was a phenomenal episode.
Really good.
I love the fact that it tied up all these little beep side plots. And like you said, the title is poignant for every character almost that we love. Like, they're all on the ropes. They're all losing a fight in one way or another. Assam's going to lose Printer Girl. Young June's going to lose his father. Bill's going to lose everything again. It's one of the better episodes of the season so far. It's got a great fight scene in it. Freaking Lee Young, dude.
Oh, it's got two great fight scenes.
Yeah, two great fight scenes. Bill versus Kevin Spacey.
And it's got a little sneak peek to something that's about to happen, is that we see that Lai is now
a member
of Strickland's staff. She's posing as a maid.
So the camera goes through Strickland's house, and like it's just this like maid from the back, and she turns around, and you find out it's Lai.
Yeah, so in the previous episode, we saw that Lai was kind of like...
she needs to kill somebody.
Staking out.
Yeah, she was surveilling Strickland's security, like kind of like clocking like what he's got going for him. And then we find out that she's infiltrated his home staff, which is mostly Chinese, ironically enough. And so, like, we're like, oh.
Because they're cheap. And he's cheap.
But also, she blames him for, like, destroying the vineyard. Lesbian vineyard. And and basically being like, I'm going to get my revenge.
Chateau de Lesbian. Vintage 1876.
Poor manor.
Slave labor camp. Uh-huh. Oh, man. We jest. People are like, We don't take ourselves seriously.
Any of our other shit. Jesus. We've never taken anything seriously.
No. We don't take anything seriously.
And that's part of the fun. But yeah, so we end this episode on that big reveal that Lai is like a hair's breadth away from Strickland. And we've already seen, set up and payoff, that Strickland knows how to use a sword.
Yes. So I, man, I forgot about that. I want to know if she is keeping a toy in the loop with this or not.
No. She's completely rogue on this.
She's rogue.
Yeah.
How do you know that for sure?
Because there's been many instances where Atoy says, forget about it. We're moving on. Mm-hmm. Don't go after this guy.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
She keeps telling her, you're not ready.
Yeah.
And she even says, I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
But Lai doesn't listen to her.
Oh, shit. Lai's going to die. I kind of don't care. What? What's wrong with you?
Somebody has to die.
Well, yeah. I hope a lot
of people. It might as well be this character we get for 12 seconds an episode.
Which is super cool, though.
You know.
But that's going to set a toy on fire.
Sure.
And Ahsong.
Yeah.
He's also going to be like, this son of a bitch. And we're going
to
have a big
Something's got to happen with Ahsong pretty soon because, you know, it's time. He's been laying low
it's
for a
time. Right? We got two episodes to go. It's time for some shit to go down.
Yep.
I feel like Andrew Koji's just like, hey, can you give me a break for like two episodes?
Yeah.
I'm always the one fighting.
Yeah.
He was Batman this season for a hot second, and I loved it. Great.
Mm-hmm. Chinese Batman.
God, I love this show.
I think that's the end.
That's the end of the episode. Yep. I don't know, man. I'm just enjoying the hell out of this ride. Yeah. This is so much fun.
So, Jude, tell us what happens next.
No, don't.
I already wrote my synopsis.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I haven't watched
it yet. I haven't watched it either. All right, we're going to end
Episode 9.
No.
Man, there are only two more episodes left.
I know.
Season.
I'm super bummed about that.
Have we heard if they're getting like a fourth season?
God,
with the writer's strike and the actor's strike, there ain't nothing's going to happen for a long time. We're stuck in a rut.
Wait another 3 years.
I know. Seriously.
It's going to be a Survivor season 49 pretty soon.
But you know what is the. I'm hoping, maybe, assuming that the studios are going to be hurting for content when the strike does end. So maybe they'll
They're
start.
They're just going to start putting out stuff that's already been filmed that they've shelved.
Yep. They're going to do that, and there's going to be a lot of
reruns,
game shows, and reality TV shows because they're dumb and cheap to make, and they don't need actors.
Did your A24 agree to all the. All the union requests, and they're still running. A24 is still doing all their stuff because they're like, yeah, it's cool, guys. Whatever you guys want. They just signed on the dotted line. They were like, yeah, let's keep making movies.
Good.
And all the other studios are like, we're not doing that.
Shareholder.
So, I mean, maybe we can get an A24 produced Warrior season 4. I don't know.
Oh, we should also point out that some of the people in our comments section on our Warrior videos, love your comments, by the way, they pointed out that the mother from the bottle episode was actually Bruce Lee's daughter.
I thought we knew that already.
I didn't know that. We didn't say it during our review. Did you know it right away or after the fact?
I mean, I knew about it. I just didn't think it was that big a deal. I guess. I don't know.
Just the showrunner of the show.
Yeah.
Or one of. What was Leong's Joe something?
Taslim.
He followed us on Instagram. Thank you, Joe.
That's cool.
Appreciate it. That
I love
was really cool.
I love how people on the show follow us.
And Detective
German
Mosley.
Hooker.
German Hooker.
Larissa. Yep.
Talked about that.
Yeah.
Every time we mention her,
Vader gets the chills.
Not a ginger.
Not a ginger.
Yep. Yeah. And let me see. I'm going to have to edit this a little bit.
She had a little kind of like moment in this episode where Buckley finishes his speech.
Oh, she was gazing up at her man with such marriage eyes.
Yeah, and Buckley comes down and kisses her publicly for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal.
And Nick Cordelone, I apologize if I'm screwing up your last name, but Detective Mosley from the Dick Department.
Oh.
He followed us as well.
Big Dick Mosley.
Big Dick Mosley. So good times all around. Thank you guys so much for producing this amazing show. We love talking about it, and we love producing our show and
I love the Dick Squad uniforms.
Yeah. The black.
Hopefully, Hoon Lee takes some time off the official Warrior podcast to listen to us. We'd love to have him back on the show sometime.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want a podcast to listen to that takes the show seriously, listen to that one.
It's an excellent podcast.
Yeah.
It's really, really well done. They cover it in a far more professional manner than we do.
Yeah. Of course.
I don't know what you were signing up for. It's not professionalism.
We're not the official face of anything, except for fucking Shady Mile Whiskey.
Not a sponsor. Not a sponsor. We just really like their stuff. All right, guys. We're going to polish this up. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for commenting. As always, you guys' insights are great. A lot of the times, your theories are awesome. And pointing out things like having Miss Lee here as the mother from that episode was really cool. I didn't know that. I didn't realize it. I learned it when I was reading it through our comments. So thank you guys for being regular fans. It's awesome. That's it for the show. Tune in next week for the penultimate.
Only two more episodes left, man.
So sad.
It's a bummer.
So sad. Mm-hmm. But we're going to enjoy every second of them. So, adios. See you next week. Stay sticky.